before that Rabbi, she tells me that Yuli arrived here in Melbourne to take up his position here as the dying of the Yeshiva Center. Can I still? Like everybody to take, sit down. There are plenty of seats. Kevin, sit down. Sit down by the tables. Plenty of seats now. And give your undivided attention to Rabbi Talzner, please. You don't? Why not?
Chaim, Chaim. All of you maybe know that there's a professor called Professor Yirmiyah Branova, sang in Australia, Echet. Became a Baal Tshuva in Russia and eventually went to see the Rebbe. So before he went to see the Rebbe, so all the people who he dealt with, there was a chap by the name of Barkandach and others, described to him what the Rebbe is. Tzaddik, Goyen, Manig. And they tried to impress upon him what a great individual, what a personality. And he, of course, was a Russian secularist all his life. And you hear stories. Of course, coming from a very, very secular and very atheistic background, to change completely is not very easy. So he thought, Taka, the Rebbe is a very big person. But you know, these chassidim like to embellish and add on the whole business. So maybe it's a nice fella, a nice person, but you know, mamach, the blue bus, the suit. And he arrived in America. And eventually was zeichet to go into Yechidus. And when he came out to Yechidus, he met the Ben Tzion Shem Tov Olav HaSholem. And he said that in his lifetime, he never realized that such an individual can exist. And what we as Chassidim have to do is thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us this individual. That was his way of looking at the Rebbe. And this was a person who, of course, did not appreciate the Rebbe's goyinis, did not appreciate the Rebbe's tzidkis, because he had just come, was about shua for a year or two. We who were zoiche for so many decades and so many dozens and dozens of years, to see the Rebbe day in and day out, when you speak to Chevron and Lubavitch, how many times were you able to see the Rebbe Rashab Nishmasev? The Bochum didn't go to Dav Minch every day, the Bochum didn't go to Dav Meirev every day, the Bochum weren't allowed to Dav Shachos every day with the Rabbeim. Whoever saw the Rebbe Rashab? I learned the Kfar Chabad. So Shlomo Chaim used to tell us, when did we see the Rebbe Rashab? Maimer Friday night, you saw the Rebbe Rashab, and that was it. When they used to go out, when they knew the Rebbe was going in Lubavitch to walk somewhere from one place to the next, it was like, Bahaltna, who would ever go and try to put himself and the Rebbe should see him? Maybe for Maim Shalono, the famous story, they used to go into the water, etc., etc., but who was able to see? I once heard from Peretz Mutchkin on our show, nowadays, when we were in 770, so everything you did, you wrote into the Rebbe, and you got an answer. People wanted to go to camp, they wanted to go to Yeshiva, they wanted to do this, they wanted to... Amam is Tzedlah, on Ashir and Abrek. I once heard, one of the advantages of marrying a Groner is that labels... When I'm asking, so you used to hear nice stories from him, Kaseder. So Leibel once told me, I'm Maisa, I don't remember exactly what Yom Tov it was. The Stamet was either Erev Shavuos, and possibly maybe Erev Pesach. So Leibel walked into the Rebbe with a sack of tzetlach, with letters, and he walked in and he put it down on the table. And he wasn't expecting any reaction. So Rebbe looks at him and says, Vos binech andresh ve'aposhete yidin. Why am I any different than a simple Jewish woman? By me, it's Echer of Yontif. Vos binech andresh. Of course, you know, if the Rebbe says that to you, what are you supposed to go into a discussion? You know, what are you going to tell him? You know, if it's Manig Yisob, it's the Meshur Abbe. What are you going to argue with the man? The label stands there, via Yold. He had nothing to say, wasn't going to say anything. And he walks out. He thinks to himself, look, he left the Rebbe a pile, you know, we should take about 5-6 hours, and people just have to wait. By the end of the day, Leibel told me there wasn't a single tzetl which was not answered. Every single one of those tzetl, which were hundreds, were answered. Lav Davka, there were shyness, I was in Gondam, I it was a very silly, many people used to write in, you know, the car is red, the car is blue, so okay, Zakar, Zakar, you know, what should I do, what should I serve for the menu? People used to write in, but not every tzetla we wrote in was, you know, world shattering that you have to have the Nosei Ador test, but I was even in the Metzias. And the Rebbe took time out for every single person, for every individual, in whatever phase it was, to actually answer. Chodshafir, the Rebbe had to take off of his time, and take up of his eating, and his sleeping, and his learning, and all the things that he had to do, and after he came, the Rebbe did it. I'm reminded of a story, which, like all sorts of label, a Moiridik story, which is mind-boggling. Label's sitting in the office, and he gets a call from South America, from a country in South America. And there's a gentleman on the phone, and he tells the following story. His wife has to have a baby, has to have a child, and all of a sudden complications got mixed up. The doctor came out and said, listen, the way it's going now, we'll have to kill the baby to save your wife, otherwise forget about your wife. And this guy, you know, he's 25, 26, boss, then he was completely, wasn't a very frumer guy, and he veined. In the same hospital, there was another Eid, and he sees Eid veined, and clocked and veined, and he goes over to him and asks him, can I help you out? So he tells him the mice, and the doctor just came out and says, well, you know, I got to make a decision, either your wife, the baby, it's within 10 minutes, it's got complications with this, with that. And he doesn't know what to do. His push is stuck. She says to the guy, he says, wait, Mr. Doctor, he's at Tzaddik in New York. I'll call up and I'll ask him. The guy basically from Tzaddikim, basically from Gornish. The guy helps him out. They go over to the telephone, put whatever they put in the telephone, and they call up, the label answers the phone, and they tell him the story. The doctor does it at mice, and they want an answer, the doctors want an answer right away. And the vase is washed at home. So Eva says, call me back in a half an hour. I'll go into there, I'll ask him. By this time already, the woman had already gone into a coma. And the doctors told the guy, listen, if you're not going to give us an answer, 1, 2, 3, he said, Peter and Finster, you'll lose both. You got to answer right away. So half an hour later, he calls up. And the Rebbe doesn't say anything. The Rebbe says to the guy who called, he's on the Kabul Zan Abzich Taras HaMishpoch. That she should accept upon himself Taras HaMishpoch. So the husband says, she's in a coma. What is she going to, you know, we're going to talk to her now. So by that time, her sister arrived in the hospital. And the sister said, I'll make sure that everything the tzaddik says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll force it. There's no question. Whatever the red tzaddik says, I'm going to do. 3-4 months later, a tall fellow walks in the 770, dark complexion, a very South American complexion. And he walks into the office. And he comes and he sees over there, you know, McLean or Label or whatever, the Simpson, and he says, you know, I'd like to visit Rabbi Schneerson. So they said to him, are you Jewish? No, I couldn't have a yarmulke. I couldn't, I'm not Jewish at all. He says, what's your shaykhus? Why do you want to see the rabbi? He says, I'm a doctor, I'm a psychologist. And I come from this country, South America. And I'd like to visit the person who can sit thousands of miles away and can tell me what to, and I forgot, I guess that one. After they called back the Rebbe that the daughter's sister accepted upon herself that she's going to be made. Keep Taz HaMishpacha, the Rebbe said they should tell the doctor she delivered a baby. Don't speak in kashas, delivered a baby, and Rebbe said, Al Zazai Mizdav Tzazam. Because I'd like to meet a person who's sitting thousands of miles away, doesn't know the woman, doesn't know the medical situation, doesn't know the doctors, knows absolutely nothing, and just says it. And you know what happens, he says? The baby was born Gesundheit. And the mother born Gesundheit still survived. Everything else says, where do you have such a person? He never been as a Meister. And this is one Meister in thousands that we know about. And there's another story which is even a more deeper Meister. That this I heard, Charakov, everyone knows that Charakov was very, very secretive. To such an extent that when his son became a chosen.
The doctor made the heaven?
Huh? No. Yeah, label doesn't let everybody in. It's easy. Yeah, forget this one. Whatever it is, the Chodakov, everyone knows, was extremely secretive. Not only secretive, when his son became a chosn, so he knew the answer that Rebbe had given, but he hadn't, the Rebbe advised him, the Kala wrote it first. So when his wife called up to ask the Zungavana Chosen Sinisht, he said, oh, I can't tell you yet. And that shows a bit, you know, Yekishkeit taken to an nth degree. So Harakop gets a telephone call and listens to the phone call and then puts it down. And he smiles at Label. He says, something extraordinary just happened. There was a younger man, Unza younger man, whose wife was very, very ill. And they took her to the hospital. It got worse and worse. And Friday afternoon, almost a little bench, maybe half an hour before, half an hour after, the doctor said to the husband, bring the ganze mishpoche because it's a halt otot, and say goodbye to your wife, your mother. So the whole mishpoche came. And so you go on Shabbos, v'shteitzach. And the guy is thinking to himself, you know, a bit in a finster. So he sits down by a table, and I'm trying to shine them and have a machshav apidyon. The doctor and are giving up hope. And he sits down and he looks at the clock, what time it is. And I shaved on a person, on the lahir, Achmed Rabim, etc., etc. And he waits. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, the doctor comes out and says, I don't know what to tell you, but there was a major crisis. On Baruch Hashem, she's pulled out of it. You don't have to worry anymore. The Rebbe called up this younger man, or asked Rakov to call up, to tell him that at 1 o'clock in the morning, the Rebbe sat down and thought about you. When he wanted this younger man to know, Rakov didn't say why the Rebbe wanted this younger man to know, but he said that Rebbe told him to call up this younger man and to find out what time this guy had thought about it, and to tell him that the time that he was thinking, the Rebbe was thinking about. Which gives us a small insight. Well, many of us saw, for example, when there's a chuppah in 7-7, the Rebbe's lights used to go out. I heard this from Label more than once, that once Label came in, and the Rebbe said, Heim ba'nacht, v'zim b'z'acht, I don't want to be disturbed. Well, if you have a chasana or something, the Rebbe said, Alosh nechol zayin af a chasana. The Rebbe didn't go to any chasana, didn't go to any chuppah, he was in the room. Which means, when the Rebbe, when Abocha got married or whatever it was, so we think the Rebbe sends a letter, and thus he does. We don't realize the total and complete Ibrahimkeit to the Rebbe in every single facet. With the diavo of the very small mice which happened to me, I go into Yechidus, my birthday is right before Hanukkah. So I'm all excited, the day after a big Fabreng, there was always Yechidus. After it was Tammuz, so Yigimol Tammuz was Yechidus. After Chafov, Chavalapov was Yechidus. It was always the night before. So I used to always go in into Skisla the night after Tiskisla. It was Chav Kisla, I used to go into Yechidus. So about, must have been 10 months or a year before, my father, Olav Hashem, had a cataract operation. So I wrote into the Rebbe, my father's having a cataract, a broche, etc., etc. There was a summer before, maybe a year before. I walk in, and I'm about to give the Rebbe the tzettel. The Rebbe looks at me, Vosmach the Tata Zoig. I stood there, you know, it's not a pshat, you know, sometimes I want to play around with Ruach HaKedesh. You know, I once heard from Arla Chitzik, Amir Dikemaisu. One of the things that the Rebbe did was that he wanted to print all of the Tzemach Tzedek Sforim. The Rebbe was unbelievably involved in Tzemach Tzedek. And the Rebbe once said that me and my wife are named after the Tzemach Tzedek and his Rebbe's. And the Rebbe once said that in all the Sforim, in all the Sikhs, it says that the Tzemach Tzedek wrote 60,000 Begin. He stated all the Sikhs in the feeding him. 60,000 Begin, how much is a Begin? About 8 sides. That's it. No. So 60 times 8, with the accountants, anybody here? 60 times 8. Talk about how much already? 400. That's thousands of pages. So the Rebbe set the label. When you have his gehead, the erste mal, aber gemein za guzme. Und jetzt sech, es ist kein guzme, die schieben mehr. Es ist nicht guzme, wrote more. So the Arla Chitzrik, as you know, was the one who was Masada the whole Eira Teira. Teira is now 55, 60 volumes, which goes from Bereshis and goes through all the Tanakh and then the Tefillah and then Ilyonim and then Gemara and my Bichla, hundreds and hundreds of Bichla. So he once asked the Rebbe, he was looking for a minor. So he asked, who did he ask? He asked the Rebbe of Ashtetzah. So the Rebbe wrote back, Nishnor, that the Maimer is to be found in this Mizbichu. But before this Maimer, that Bichu is a very pertinent narrative. So Al Chitzik, when he came out, when I spoke to him, he said, you know, forget about Ruach HaKedesh. The band should remember every Maimer that's written in the Atir. There's a Rav, a very Poshim Rav, like Gordon knows. In America, there's a Rav called Av Henkin. Rabbi Gordon had a lot of shaykhs, but Mr. Kuntres that he gave out, which he was very involved with. Agdome. And this Av Henkin has an Enikul of Narnetz Yisrael, or a whole saving Ha'ai Shashub is made Bonim. He's a Rav, and that's a nation of Matagolan, Yenegeng. An interesting fellow, very interesting fellow. He told me the following story. His daughter fell off the second floor of their house in Eretz Yisrael. So Shaili, she was a ketana, she was before Bas Mitzvah, and a mice with bitters. Her game all backwards and forwards, and Yemach, and Nishmach, and Herahim. She wrote out a whole tshuva, and he sent Sai the tshuva and Sai a brocha to the Rebbe to ask for a full shlema, the talk to Zayn Gesund, etc., etc. She gets back a letter. She thinks to himself, there's no horus on the tshuva. He thought the Rebbe would write down 25 horus on the tshuva. So Mistam, the Rebbe wouldn't even look at it. She reads the letter, Mashallah, Pinis Kabel, Mashallah, Shlema, Herahim. Then he looks on the bottom, there's a nukta b'tzidui. Lomo lehevi divrei admon hazoke b'tzidurei al inyan ze. So he said, oh, the Rebbe, not only did the Rebbe read it, but the Rebbe saw what the guy didn't put in, and they brought a small aura, because Al-Trep Taka says that Akot Nibi Shigil Echino doesn't say a bit of sakrit. And these you can continue with thousands and thousands of stories, b'lishia b'ligvu. But one of the things we saw, that everybody who was involved, that the small things that sometimes, because look at Magid, why did they, Trevor wanted to go to the Magid to see how he did his shoelaces, or Magid wanted to go to the Baal Shem Tov, how he did his shoelaces. It was a Friday afternoon in 770, and I had a minig, a Baruch Hashem, they should go often, but I came out, never missed a mincha Erev Shabbos. In the 5 years I was in 770, Tenech Meyed Zayin, never missed, Erev Shabbos, mincha Bechlau, was a very beautiful scene. First of all, there wasn't a big oilam, because everybody was running around, face what they're doing, but everybody's running around, and no one's around, and the first year I came was Tov Shechoftes, and they would walk in about 10 minutes before Lich Bench. So I said, Lich Bench was 4 o'clock, they walked in 10 minutes before, no question about it. Play their oilam again, and it was posh and beautiful to be with the Rebbe, and there was a small oilam, you could see everything, but mamash, it was posh and beautiful. One Friday, Rav Simson of Asholem, in his room, those in the back of 770, know in the back it was Rav Shmuel's room. Rav Shmuel slept in 770 in a specific bed, which was known. Rav Gordon will tell you there was famous cockroaches in the bed, and there were ants, and he had a very famous bed. And sometimes Rebbe used to send Bochum to sleep with Rabbi Simson in the same room, to Zenon, because Shlachm on Piatzka Hazen. Those people, nowadays we wear pajamas. Rav Shmuel, I don't think, even owned a pair of pajamas. But Rabbi Shlachm, that room is known for Rav Shmuel's room. Now, but that room had an Aron Kadesh, which had Mashiach Sefer Teda. If you think it was down Mashiach Sefer Teda. And then it stopped in the middle. So in that room, the Sefer Teda was kept in an Aron Kadesh for years. Everybody used to see, walk in, you know, people knew it existed, but no one got very excited about it. So one year, the Aron Kadesh was already getting, you know, it's up to 30 years later, this must have been Chortes, middle of Chortes. And the Aron Kadesh was getting already a bit, so he made a new Aron Kadesh. And he asked the Rebbe that the Rebbe should take the Sefer Torah from the old Aron Kadesh and put it into the new Aron Kadesh. Because he knew the Rebbe had a Sheikh Sefer Torah. This wasn't finished yet, but so what happened? So the Rebbe said he'll do it, but on the way to Mincha, Erev Shabbos, instead of going straight into the davening in the Bismarck upstairs, it was the end of the corridor, he'll go in and he'll move the Sefer Torah from one to the next. So 770 is all the different types of bochim. There were those bochim that, you know, stay in the front line, they got to see the Rebbe do everything. So there was a window there, it was Chavegishtel. The bochim were a bit, you know, weisnich, you know, exactly. They stood from far, they knew what was going to happen. Also wasn't the beginning. And the Rebbe starts walking into the end of the corridor. But the Rebbe should get home, and there's coats on the floor. No. The Rebbe went and started picking up one coat and putting it on. And a second coat to label to Yechapta, grabbed all the coats and threw them around or whatever it is. But you saw that the Rebbe said, Gang has to put coats on the floor. I mean, the whole Nikudah of how the Rebbe wanted, first of all, the floor should be clean, that's number one. Then a few Shabbos later, the Rebbe spoke about it as a Shul, Dozacham, a Smitkenish Reddening, Zayn Bishabbos, which means Mukhtza, cigarettes, or whatever it was. But how everything that the Rebbe did, the Shlemus, I remember that Nissen used to say that the godless, that even the Rebbe's beard grows straight. That everything that the Rebbe did, the Shlemus, in every single Nakuda of the Rebbe's Hanhoge, and Befrat, that Chassidim were able to see it. There was an old Eid who used to hang around called Hamudel Shmuklev, the extendedly old man. Short fella. He used to sit down and sit by the Gronos on 709. He used to say, Rebbe Rashab. Every night he went to sleep. People saw him go to sleep. 5 hours, 6 hours, everything. The Rebbe Rebbe, Mr. Shloch, Mr. Est. And you could see B'muchus, the Rebbe's Hanhoge. In every single detail, by davening you saw it, you know, in every single nekuda. Now, if we are Siddim of the Rebbe, which basically means we're celebrating the Aleph Nissan, and Ashrena Matev Haken, we have a Shaykhus to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe told us exactly what he wants. When the Bochim is to go into Yechides, there was Lashonis that we used to use, Kira Mitzvah Behidur, Asmodu Shkid, and learning. The Rebbe wanted certain things from every Chassid. He wasn't just interested in Chabad monk. The Rebbe had in Yonim, which were a minor midach hateva, the dollars, and what happened by dollars, given zachin. You know, this one had it, he asked a bracha for children. You saw, you take a look at the video, and you see, so he's never given a guy who hadn't had kids for 10 years, and all of a sudden, the Rebbe gives a dollar, and you look at it. So what do you see? You see, the Rebbe giving a dollar, the guy taking it. So what's happening? Is that garnish? Absolutely nothing. You could be standing, the shiftek kok, standing in front of Yosef, and was that the Yosef? Yosef was standing in front of him. Was that garnish? And $1, you see, the Rebbe is a four shleimer. And then you find out a week later, a month later, that this one had a kid after 10 years, and this one was ill, and he went out four, and you see it, and you don't understand what's happening at all. This guy gets $2, this guy gets $1, this guy gets $3. There's one video that the Rebbe answers three boys. There's a father and three boys, but the Rebbe answered each one differently. This one, he says one thing, this one said things just second. Then later, someone told me that they found out that each one of these three kids, one was a real son, one was an adopted, and one was a half a brother. Rebbe never met them before. Each one separately. Moshe, Yeshua, the Rebbe says, Tanya, and the Rebbe demanded and wanted that we do something. I remember once a Hanukkah attack, it was a Libra of Chassan, one of the Libra of Chassanas. So everybody thought it was a Sikh after Hanukkah. So I was the fourth lift, the fifth lift, and everyone was walking down the thing. They said, it was all okay, Mitzvah Hanukkah, you know. Don't listen to why I'm at the Sikh of Pesach, but you guys have got to do something. In my shul, as a rabbi before I came here, there was a tzoldik Antwerpen, an Antwerpen Eid. So he came the last year and a half to shul. And I was walking home with him a few months ago, he said, I'll tell you a story. This fellow went through a divorce. I swear to myself, he became fry. You can't get worse. And he went to live in Africa, a diamond, he got to have a job. Didn't keep a thing. Absolutely, 3-4 years, garnished. No, but after every few years, you got to buy clothing. So he comes to New York, there's a very famous story called, a store called Macy's. Macy's, a Hoshu store. So he goes into Macy's, and the cave to him was a cave. As he's walking out, a 15-year-old boy goes over to him and says, Happy Hanukkah! So he sees that he doesn't react. He says, you know, sir, are you Jewish? I said, yeah. He says, you know, today's Hanukkah? Look here, yeah, not today's Hanukkah. You tell me, I believe you, I don't have anything to do with you. He said, you know, it's the fourth night. If you tell me it's the fourth night, I'll believe it's the fourth night. But you got a menorah for the first night. So if I give you a menorah for a dollar, will you take it up? For a dollar, I'll buy it. No, I'm able to, you know, I won't get excited about the dollar. He says, would you light it? He says, yeah, I'll come back to my hotel room and I'll light it. So he takes out the dollar, he gives him the dollar, and then he gives him the Hanukkah leaflet, and the menorah, the dollar mazes. He walked into his hotel room, and it hung it to the Hanukkah leaflet, they told me how to vein the ganze nacht. And that started the most, like, I'd give any amount of money in the world to find out who that 15-year-old bachur was. The Rebbe Nishit HaBachav Mifzoyim, Nishit HaBachav Eishim said to the Gittin.
English, Rebbe of English.
The guy didn't know who this bachur was, and what he did, and what happened, and the whole exchange, and what happened to him. And that's why, because the guy went on Mitzvah Hanukkah, and gave up the other chapter Menorah, and as a result of that, changed that person's complete and total life. That's one mitzvah and one Eid. The Rebbe wanted, and certainly was matzliach, to put us on our feet, number one, what would we be without the Rebbe? Think about for a moment, everybody sitting in this room should ask himself, without the Rebbe, where would I be today? What would I be doing? And what contribution I'd be making, not only to Klal Yisrael, but to Bechlal? And the Rebbe took every single individual. There's a beautiful story. Someone went into the Rebbe and complained. The Rebbe had one of the problems that a lot of people used to go in and complain about this one and that one, their technician, their technician, this one's no good. So the Rebbe, as everyone knows, his sense of humor was unbelievable. So he told someone, what do you want me to do? I should take out a Sefer Yetzirah and make new people. Avraham Avinu has a book that anyone wants to create new people, I'll give you the book, very cheap. So a Sefer Yetzirah, and come on, make it a mention, make your own place. So the Rebbe said, what should I do? I should take out a Sefer Yetzirah and make it. This is what we got, and this is what I got to work with. Many of you may have heard, I suppose my Shved told you stories about, there was a guy called Rabbi Herschel Schechter. Rabbi Herschel Schechter was the first chaplain who went into, it was a Belsen, or
Buchenwald.
Buchenwald. And he was Reima. He was Mishtibel, the Babusta Reima, Hukumshul in the Bronx. Not the Bronx, in Brooklyn. So he tells the following story. He went to the Rebbe once. The Rebbe said, Rabbi Shecht, I want to ask you a question. Would you have liked to have been born in the generation of Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, and those of you who saw the video, he's now in the early years. I'm not born, and then he's after, maybe he's grown since then. And, you know, would the Rebbe ask you a question? Do you want to be born in Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai's years? He said, the Rebbe, he said, yeah, not a bad idea. He said, you know, he could have said, nice to you, Rebbe, it's nice. He said, have a cigar, but it'll be very nice. Then the Rebbe says, would you like to have been born in the generation of the Rambam? He looks at the Rebbe, he didn't realize, where's the Rebbe going? He looks at Rambam, sure, meet the Rambam, and I'm not a bishop of mine, picture's nice, he's actually a picture, he said, it's a... Then the Rebbe looks at him and says, would you like to be born in the generation of Baal Shem Tov? This guy's sitting there, a very fine Jew, but he didn't have a clue of what the Rebbe was getting at. And the Rebbe looks at him and says, you know what? I wouldn't have wanted to be born. He says, if we're born in this generation, it's our simon that this is what the Almighty wants of us, and this is where we got to be, and this is what we got to do. And therefore, as a result of that, I am happy, believeful that I'm in this generation. But the Rebbe said it about himself. So every single one of us who had a shaykhus with the Rebbe, who has a shaykhus with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe made it clear, we have Baruch Hashem with the Sichas, and you have the Yigris, and you have all the Takones, and there's nothing at all that the Rebbe didn't say that's what we have to do. Nothing. And every Indian that has to be, whether it's Chinuch, whether it's learning, whether it's davening, whatever it may be. We're coming up to Pesach. How much the Rebbe said on Pesach, the Agodah, and what's going on about Pesach? There isn't anything the Rebbe didn't discuss about Pesach. And we know what we have to do. The Shaila is that the Rebbe says, when he talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we have Bechira. A person has free choice. You can't force anybody to do anything. Everybody is a free agent, could do what he wants. It's a freedom. It's a, we live in a very, very free world. But if you want to have a Shaychus to the Rebbe, Shaychus to the Rebbe, the Rebbe writes, Tayyim Yemes, first of all, learning the Rebbe's Torah. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a place called the Beis Havro. Beis Havro was like a hotel where the Bochum used to go to Bada Yeshivas. Used to want them, the Bochum to get a bit of a rest, to get some fresh air and have a few good meals, because the meals that were served in Chabad were not of the highest culinary qualities, and the beds were also not of the highest qualities, and the Mikvah Vadanish. So they wanted the Bochum should have a bit of enjoyment, the pleasure. So used to, for a week, used to go, they used to charge a garnish, but garnish. So Gidon HaPeilah Shehid ran the place. He said, you know what's very strange? The Dolzer came in, and Bobber came in, and Gerer came in. All these guys come Shabbos by the table, nobody opens their mouth. Vanilla Babich walks in, the guy doesn't stop. He said, whatever you guys come. There's always, I know, I'll always hear something. Because we have Baruch Hashem, Ashirim HaTelfa, I came to my knowing Gerolina, my mother, and the Sikhas, and everything else. More living Godush. A packet to finish to learn for the secrets from top to cover with all the horrors, all of my became a shver a business. It is not an easy thing, but you have to start somewhere. And comes a day if you ballad listen, what the Rebbe said, Shama came down to this world. At the end of the day, those who were Zoyche, for example, I remember to get into the Seder was many Bochum went home for Yom Tov. I went to the Mama Tata. My parents were there in Israel, I was in America. So I immediately, the Rebbe came into the Seder by the Bochum. The Rebbe used to go finish Ma'ariv and would give out some matzah. The whole mice of giving the matzah, the Rebbe looked at the matzah, looked at you, and then he broke off pieces. So you remember, Balshemsky and Yonim, when you saw Bishas mice, and then this, he gave one guy a whole matzah, and then he told it to the guy's guest, well, if I give to the guest the matzah, so the guy who takes in the guest, I'm going to get my matzah. And the way they ever managed that matzah scene was the most unbelievable thing. And the Abba Uv, they had a mice which pushed, I felt, there was a bacher who became a chosin, and for some strange reasons, I don't want to go into the reasons, he went to his kala for Pesach, which was not a dumb thing in Pashas. So he asked me, when I'm passing by the Rebbe for matzah, I should ask the Rebbe for a piece of matzah for him. So he gives me the matzah, and I say, such and such guy. He says, who is it? Who is it? Hey, where is he? So I thought, I'm the snitcher. Rebbe realized my predicament very, very quickly. I mean, you saw, I mean, just my turn, on the spot, to the second, it was like unbelievable. But the matzah, so Rebbe used to give out matzah after Meirin, and then he would go across the corner of Kingston to 749. And also, I want to tell you a small story which nowadays, you know, you talk about millions and trillions. A few days before Pesach, there was a few bochrim, and we said as follows, the Rebbe's going to come into 749. So I said, Pastor, we should have a red carpet. A melech kol, I'm going to have a red carpet. I said, I'm saying, to rent a red carpet then cost $30. Now today, $30, I'm going to scrape my gloves, I'm going to scrape for $30. And we went around collecting 50 cents and a dollar, so we finally got the $30. On one hand, you've had the Rebbe, the carpets, we're not into chitzenias. So we put down the carpet, and by us was a bit shaky, we're playing around with our Rebbe's nisht. It's a very difficult thing. But you see the Rebbe's sensitivity, as the Rebbe walked down, so he walked down Kingston, crossed the street, then made the left to come to 749, and as he sees, he looks down the carpet, he gets it out. He stops it, he puts it, and he walks on the carpet. I mean, the simcha that we had, just Meisek, is indescribable. And the Rebbe walked in with about 150 bucks after. Oh, please, I don't want to go in after the lights. Not a problem. But whatever it is, the Rebbe walked in, and the broche was his dead silence. And the Rebbe looked, he walked around, and we asked where the garbage can was, and where the lift. And then there was a paper bag. The Rebbe's eyes didn't miss a thing. And he had also Mr. Cook there, very famous cook, and Broche, and then he gave out the Kurz of Broche, and never walked out. And then the Broche made the Seder extremely quickly, I won't say how long, 1, 2, 3. So by the time the Rebbe got upstairs, half an hour later, to do the Seder, the Broche were all there. And they were held the matzahs in his hand, and they were walked in, and we must have been 25 Broche the most. Who saw the Seder from beginning to end, never walked in. You see the Arizal with his matzahs, how he made the Kaira, dead silence, there wasn't a sound. And then they started the Seder. There was a fellow called Yankel Katz from Chicago. He was the chazan who said the Seder loud. And that year was the first, it was the Esnach place of Tavshach of Tess. So Yankel Katz kept saying that God. He finished, they benched, every bench taker, and then they finished benching, and they made Beit Yaakov, and they started saying at the end of the house, it's Nagoda. So Yankel Katz said it quite quickly, and by the time he finished melech ulubatish boches, the Rebbe was way, way behind, I think even before Nishmas. By that time already, the Olim started coming. I remember the Madraskin, who was quite a bit high, and he was trying to push the boche back, because the table was very, very, it wasn't such a massive table. And in the middle that year was the Nigna Prozis Teshiv Yerushalayim. So the Rebbe, in the middle of the meal, Bechlal never, when the Bochum were there, only their Pesach, usually there was never any singing. He didn't sing. The Rebbe spoke. Rashag used to always ask every year the same exact questions. He would ask, you know, how could the Talmidim come and, you know, tell him, he has my Krishma, the Bosses of Ahar Bezara, and had only one, all business. And then one year I remember, I'll never forget this, it was Rashag got up, like Rashag said on this side, the Rebbe said on this side, and the feeding Rebbe's place was empty, was set. All of a sudden Rashag picks himself up. And those of you who remember Ashag, when he got red, it was mamash like a tomato. It was unbelievable. Mamash roit vizdaps is like. And the Rebbe, it was quite red, no question about it. And he says to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe didn't like it. Never the one not to put on the spot, as he say in English. As b'shas Mashiach kumen, so the Rebbe be mitnemen in zayin karat. The Rebbe should take me together in his carriage. And he saw the Rebbe was very uncomfortable about this whole business. So the Rebbe said, you know, as a kid, as even zitz do, I'm a prophet to say that, and zitz about current pace of his older dach. Then he sat down. But it was a scene to behold. And then came the bye-byes, the meal, so all of a sudden the Rebbe starts singing, Prozis Teshiv Yerushalayim. And Fashtetzan, everybody started singing, and the place, you know, the table, everyone knows, started moving. Just, you know, down the road, and Rashak is on the floor. And there was two of them very quietly, you know, picked him up. And Uchikurgen had Gishrin, those of you, the guy they called Uchikurgen. Uchikurgen was a guy who was a Zohar Begero 1955, but forgot to go back. So he was 56 or 57 or 58, and he was there the whole time. And he was there, Gibblimendort. And I remember Handel had to handle Gishrin. These guys were flying, they were going big, they were going off. And Rashag was mamish on the floor. I mean, you have to understand what this means. The Rebbe's brother-in-law is sitting on the floor by his own table. It's on the floor. And he picked up the bochum nicely, picked him up. Not a word. Don't mean he's ever say he's beautiful. He didn't say a thing. The others were screaming and yelling. And Rebbe started making with his hands, and all of a sudden the furniture started going. I see, then an unbelievable seer. And then the Rebbetzin opened the door a bit and gave a, you know, because I think Zamaduch was the one that had furniture. See, no, there wasn't a way. But it was an that was the singing. Then when they got to benching, the Rebbe was, the Katz finished, and the Rebbe was before Nishmas. That must have been before Nishmas. And then the Oilam Chatzir, that the Rebbe is before Nishmas, so it became dead silence. What dead silence means, you could hear a fly. And for about 15 minutes, the Rebbe said the Hagol, and the guy stood there. I mean, I've never actually taken any of these stuff that most of these guys take to get high, but it was the tzir of that evening was marvel alarai. And then the second night, the Rebbe came downstairs to Fabrek. That itself was something. 1:30 in the morning, first of all, you don't feel yourself in Mosasak Bok, Mahadir, they have a sveikas on the kosher, so between 4 and 5 and 6. So most of them already, when it comes to 7:07, you're in a different situation. The matzah with the wine and the whole smell of the whole situation is very, very interesting. And he came downstairs at 1:30. The Rebbe to get out of the Seder, that was more interesting. But the Rebbe had to go out of the Seder, so you had hundreds of people there already. By the time the Rebbe finished, Chavakov was there. Like, everybody came. So the room wasn't a large room, and the door wasn't a large door. So the Rebbe had to wait about 5-6 minutes till everybody went down the stairs, and he held his matzah, his kaira, and he took it downstairs to his room, because the Rebbe gave out matzah to many people during the rest of the next few weeks. And the second night, he came downstairs to Fabrega at 1:30. The Fabrega went usually from 1:30, sometimes till 5, sometimes till 5:30. After the Fabrega, Yale with Chazer from 5:30 to 7:30, and then 8:00, Fekmege Shlofim is half of 9:15 to 10. And the Fabrengen, the Rebbe sat with his eyes closed. So someone once asked him why the Rebbe sit with his eyes closed. The Rebbe said he knows that people at 3:00 in the morning, the second night, Pesach, are fast asleep. And if he's going to look at them, they'll feel very, very uncomfortable. So he sits with his eyes closed. So Mishnah the Sikhas, he would open his eyes and was singing. Some of the most beautiful Sikhas you find. And it was a himmel because you couldn't say l'chaim. The only thing you could do was sing. And the Rebbe would speak. And one thing I also remember, which remains in my mind, when the Rebbe finished the Seder the first night, Tavshchav Tes, so normally the Rebbe came out of 7:07 and would go this way to the right to go home. All of a sudden the Rebbe turns the other direction and is going towards Kingston. So of course all the Bochum, you know, the Rebbe can't go on himself, he's the Bochum there with him. So all the Bochum start walking to the Rebbe. And nobody knows where he's going. And I remember Yale Khan started coming up, you know, his jacket was flying, Malazite. He didn't know that he was coming. And we started walking up Kingston. And then all of a sudden, the Rebbe takes a right on Union. And still nobody knew, but where's the Rebbe going? The Rebbe used to go to his mother home years ago with that. And then the Rebbe started walking till the cradle. And then by the cradle, the Rebbe came out. So Diva some got Sechel, you know, went home. Oh, but Nishtal home Sechel. But one thing, but yet, Zoyche Given, that the people who stood right behind the Rebbe heard the Rebbe asked his wife, so Zigedeng, so she remembers the Mshver Seder. That's the only thing we heard. Never walked straight home. Ashrei Ayiro, so Zoyche, I mean, those who saw it were Zoyche to Gilal Akuz B'muchesh, which is very, you know, at the end of the day, these are memories which are Ayin Kapta, a person's Zikarna, but the Tachlis from all of this without following what the Rebbe ever wanted of us, the takonas of the Rebbe in the Mitzoy, to learn the Rebbe's Sichas, and to realize what we have. The famous Gemara, Mizok, that famous story about in Russia, they had to go to one of the prime ministers to get rid of a decree against the Chinuch it was. So they took a few Rabbonim, but the Rabbonim couldn't speak a word of Polish or Russian properly, so they thought, you know what, we'll get a Pshashtikl Maskil, who's some type of a nice guy. You know, he's a nice guy, so they wanted to choose a certain guy. So they asked any of the Rabbonim, should we take him? So I think it was a Chaim Brisker who said, no, we can't take him. I said, why not? She quoted the Gemara. The Gemara said, a person gives a guy a Pekodin, and he says it's silver. I give you a watch, I tell you a silver watch, I'm going away, watch it for me. And someone, you know, you don't watch it properly, and it's stolen. But then you find out that the watch wasn't silver, it was gold. So how much do you have to pay? Well, you have to pay silver. So he said, Yena, when he talks about chinuch, is by him silver, yours chinuch is gold. What is the merevim to have a havona, to understand what we have? And to use every single individual, the kreiches that the Eibishter gives him, and the Rebbe certainly pours out kreiches. We see the hatzlocha, that things are happening today, that we see them from the whole world, what's happening. We have to put in a little bit of work, mishkensach at the end of the day, to make sure that the Rebbe's chassidus should be moved for it, so his mitzvah should go all over the world. And if everyone will do his bit, mishkensach. I want to say to the Rebbe, if you know Aleph Beis, and the next guy only knows Aleph, you still got an achrayus to teach the other guy the extra us. And if everyone does that, then zichas on his galos, and by Mashiach, it's all good to Zachal Chaim. Where's the mashkin? I have something for that.
I stop, especially if I don't stop.